this morning could not get more beautiful. Just stick your neck out the window and look at it. A gorgeous and sunny day here in Laguna Beach. A little windy. 8:01 the time, and as we do each and every Wednesday morning, we welcome the president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. In fact, this hour of the Mornings with Ed show is brought to you by Wealthwise Financial Services. Wealth management redefined. Please welcome the president and CEO of Wealthwise, Laureen Gilbert. Welcome, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Good to be here.
Great to have you today. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Good, good. Yeah, fantastic morning here. If you're not in town, I'm not sure if you're in town or not, you're missing an absolutely perfect Laguna Beach morning.
Well, I'll be there this next week, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let's see if we can't get you in studio next week.
Yes. Sounds like a plan.
That sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. All right, I'll work some coffee up for us. I'll actually get the coffee maker going in here. So we find ourselves in the second day of February, and you and I spoke a few times in January. What was that bumpy ride we experienced in January?
It's a wild ride, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so there's something called the January effect, that as January goes, so the year goes. And when you look at that statistically, when the S&P 500 is up in January, the next 11 months are up 86% of the time. And when January is lower, you know, the S&P 500 is lower in January, the next 11 months are up 62% of the time. So obviously a lot heavier weight when January is up in the S&P 500. But to give a little bit more clarity, the past 10 times that January was lower, the next 11 months were up 9 times out of those 10 times.
Wow.
So all of that is to hopefully put it in perspective. The other point I want to make is that when the S&P falls more than 5% in January, there's still usually some downside in February. So all of that is to say we may have hit the lows, but the volatility is not over.
Okay, so the volatility will continue. So if the volatility that investors made it through in January, the fact that they survived that volatility, does it show confidence in the resilience of the economy?
Well, yeah. I think, you know, the U.S. economy is still growing. And if we look at the fourth quarter of 2021, it was up 6.9%, despite Omicron. And for the full year, it was up 5.7%, so when we're looking at GDP. But when we look at the full year of this year, we've seen downward revisions from economists on GDP growth. But even with the downward revision going from around 4%, you know, somewhere between people are projecting 3.2% to 4%, I want to remind people that that's still healthy growth. I mean, don't forget that we had a decade of just trying to get to 2% growth every year. So we're still looking, slower growth doesn't mean slow growth. So we're still seeing growth in our economy.
Right. And the original projection was an amazing projection, but if you know, if you're still down around the fours, that's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Okay.
And what we still have are strong earnings, strong profit. So we're still seeing that. Although we may have seen peak earnings and peak profits, and also with that, probably peak inflation that's going to start coming down as the Fed raises rates, inflation will come down.
Okay. I have a question for you. What is a buy the dip impulse? What is that?
Well, that's something that we believe in. So when you see the markets going down like we saw in January, that can present buying opportunities. And it's distinguishing between, is this a correction or are we leading into a recession? And we felt strongly that this was a regular correction and bringing valuations back into normative ranges, anticipating the Federal Reserve increasing rates. All that is normal. And so with that, then you want to buy on the dip when those stocks are lower. And we did that in January, and it benefited us because if we just look at the last 2 days of January, the last 2 days of January were up over 4%. And that was the best month recovery since November of 2011 and the best end of January that we've seen. So incredible last 2 days of January. And for those investors that bought on the dip, they got that advantage.
Okay. Over the last couple of Wednesdays, I was asking you to talk, not just me, but other investors off of a ledge. Fear was driving us. In your experience, what are the results when fear drives the market? And did we see some of that?
You know, when fear drives the market, you often see a precipitous decline. And, you know, it accelerates, right? That decline just starts accelerating until the market capitulates, and then you finally have more buyers than sellers. So it's all about, do you have more sellers than buyers or buyers than sellers? And capitulation means it's gone down so far that their buyers are back in the market again. Right. And I think we saw some of that in the market of, you know, finally the buyers won out over the sellers.
Okay. My pedestrian question for the morning, and I owe you one each and every conversation we have, but I was looking at the numbers throughout the sectors. And I see that energy minerals did very well. Electronic technology also did very well. And consumer durables, as I expected, didn't do very well. Obviously, I expect oil to do well and consumer durables not to do so good because of supply chain issues, obviously. But right there, stuck in the middle without much movement at all, are health services and communications. And I was surprised to see those two sectors not going through the roof. Why is that?
Well, that's a great observation, Ed. And what we saw all of last year is that consumers were spending money on goods, not services. So services has lagged. And services, we think, are going to increase this year. And once again, we see that as a buying opportunity. We actually like the healthcare sector, and we like communications services sector as well. So it's funny you mentioned both of those. Those are two sectors that we like quite a bit, and we're specifically investing in.
Okay. Yeah. I may have a good eye. Who knows? Or I'm just possibly lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tax season. We're getting our stuff together at the house. What do you have coming up this tax season? What advice can you give?
Well, first of all, you know, what I'd say for individuals is keeping good records is so critical and important. And it's hard to do for many people. And I think one answer is to hire a professional to help you. If you struggle with keeping your own books, sometimes using a bookkeeper to help you with those records can be very helpful. And certainly for a business owner, having a bookkeeper, because most business owners really should be keeping monthly books to monitor what's going on in their business. So that would be one tip. As people are looking through their records right now, maybe you need a bookkeeper. The additional item I would say is that using a financial advisor, not necessarily that's a CPA, because we believe in, you know, using a CPA who's a CPA, using a financial advisor who's a financial advisor, right. But an advisor who coordinates with your CPA is critical. We do that in our office. We work with our client CPAs, whoever they are. Right. We collaborate with them. The other thing is that we review our clients' tax returns before they file them if they would like us to. And we like to do that. So sometimes we see things from a little bit different angle than the CPA does because we're thinking about it from their investment side of things and what it is. When we review it, we can tell, are there things that we could do for them? One, to look back on their return, was there anything that might have been missed? But the other thing is there anything we can do prospectively in the next year? Like right now is time for people to be planning ahead. The last year is gone. Now we're in 2022. What can you be doing right now that's going to help you with your tax returns for this year? And let's not forget, this is going to be the last year for a solar deduction. I know the state of California kind of kicked down the road with that potential proposal that would be very detrimental for people who have solar. So we're watching that. But you certainly get a tax deduction on the front end, and this is 2022 is going to be the last year for that. And the final thing I'll mention is just making sure that you're maxing out on your retirement plan contributions. And if you're a business owner, looking at not just the traditional retirement plans like 401k profit sharing, safe harbor, but adding in a cash balance plan where business owners can put in hundreds of thousands of dollars. So those would be some of my tax tips for the day.
All right, fantastic. And I can't, you know what, I'm going to scratch the surface on a couple of the things you mentioned a little more next week when I have you here in studio. And we're already excited about that. That's a great thing. So how do our listeners find you? Now that it's an important time of year, it's tax season, how do we find you?
So wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
Laureen, as always, I thank you so much for the conversation today. And as I mentioned, I really look forward to seeing you in studio next week. If that's possible, we'll cross our fingers.
Thank you, Ed. Look forward to seeing you then.
Thanks, Laureen. You have a great rest of the day.
Okay.
8:12 the time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Money, money, money.